You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 24 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mia Kruger, Kruger International, will be talking markets. Tim Acker, he of Allen Gray, talking local banks. And then Stephen Marshall. Tomorrow is the Durban July. It's a little bit late, but it's still July and it will be running, but with no crowds. The show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb, Steinhoff class action fund not triable. And from CNBC, Warren Buffett hikes Bank of American stake by more than $800 million. Morning markets, red. U.S. S&P down 1.2%, NASDAQ off 2.3%, Sydney off 1.2%, and Tokyo down 0.6%. Commodities, actually a bunch of green happening across there. Gold, $1,887, that's $21 up on yesterday morning. Rand, $1,666. And the top 40 opening call, we're looking about a 1% red open.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Mia Kruger. She's the director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate your time. I want to touch on that Sasol update. A lot of information in the update. Is it fair for me to say, nice, but really what I'm interested in is that partial sale of their Lake Charles project and therefore a possible rights issue? To me, that seems to be the big story, which Sasol is not talking about.
Absolutely. Good morning, Simon. That's exactly what my thoughts were when I saw the update. We've been hearing from them directly that the rights issue was on the card, or has been on the card since they were considering selling off a lot of the units to pay back the debt. And at this stage, they're pretty quiet about it. The sales aren't going as fast as they were initially talking to the market about. And that, all of it just points to the fact that the possibility of a rights issue is getting larger. So I think they are trying to avoid the elephant in the room at this stage. But the news coming out of that stable at this time is not that positive, with a further delay at Lake Charles after the fire that they had in January. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they can postpone breaking the news to the market for much longer.
Yeah, and that news is maybe going to be bleak. I mean, they do a $2 billion rights issue. They might not do as big as that, but if they do, it'll be the biggest by some way on our market. We also had a Spur update. We understand that the numbers to February actually weren't bad. The rest of the year, obviously, a horror show. The story here, my sense is, it's not just about when they get fully open again. The bigger story is the consumer, their wallet, their confidence in going back, their ability to spend. We don't know when it is going to happen, and we don't know how the consumer is going to be responding. We do know they're under pressure. It's going to be a while before we see the likes of Spur and other quick service restaurants sort of getting back to pre-COVID levels.
Absolutely. I mean, that's very much in line with what we heard from the Saab yesterday as well. But I mean, Spur coming out with a warning of at least a 40% drop in their earnings, which is significant. But as you say, they're very worried about the consumer in South Africa. We know that the closure of these restaurants, the ban on alcohol, the ban on cigarettes, have cost South Africa millions of jobs, literally. Mm-hmm. And we will be seeing the jobless rate increase, and this is putting the already under constrained consumer under even worse constraint. So people are cutting back on luxuries, which is fast food and eating out, unfortunately, normally on the forefront. And even in some polls that we've read the last couple of weeks, that's come to a fore. But I mean, the Saab also mentioned to us that they're not expecting, or they're actually expecting a lower economic growth that's coming there than they've expected before. So that's down back to 7.3% rather. And the two coming years, 2021-2022, were also downgraded, in which what that actually means is that the South African economy will probably take 3 years or longer just to get back to the already depressed state that we were in going into this year. So as you can imagine, I would also be very, very worried if I was a seller of goods like a restaurant group to the consumer in South Africa alone.
Yeah, I mean, I got huge respect for our SARB and our governor. And the issue with them is that they, and it's not actually truthfully, not just the SARB. We see this out of Treasury. We see it out of the IMF and the World Bank, is that oftentimes their numbers are optimistic. I mean, what we've been seeing with global GDP and South African GDP is it keeps on getting downgraded a little bit lower every time they talk. And to your point, that recovery is going to take a lot longer than anyone anticipated. Next, quickly, British American Tobacco. A couple of people have been asking me on the Twitters around the stock. There hasn't been news out of it. It's just been having a really tough time. Now, obviously, tobacco ban in South Africa, but they're a global company. They're selling cigarettes all over the world. South Africa's a part of that. Have you got thoughts on British American Tobacco? Is it a stock you look at? Do you have moral objections to it?
Well, yes, let's just talk about the reality of the fact that they've had a massive cut to their income due to the fact that we've seen this large tobacco ban in South Africa. And as you say, they're an international company, but on the local front, they have been losing out an immense the part of their income this year, and it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon, even though all of us really hope that they will just lift this ban, whether we're smokers or not. Mm-hmm. And I mean, despite the fact that I'm not a fan of smoking, I'm very worried about the fact that the South African fiscus is actually losing out about 35 million rand in taxes every single day as this ban goes on. We already have ranked up about a 4 billion rand excise tax loss this year already due to the fact that this lockdown of 118 days has not allowed people to buy cigarettes legitimately. And the polls show us that over 90% of the people that smoke still smoke, and they now pay, you know, over 250% more for the cigarettes, which is absolutely only hurting the South African taxes and the South African position, and not really the smokers themselves. So yes, and just to get back to that, the price is actually pretty attractive at these levels. The company is a company full of innovation. They've actually diversified their portfolio over the last couple of years, and I don't think it's a trend that people buck easily. We've just seen that now with these, and there was no better opportunity for a smoker to stop smoking than they've had now, mm-hmm. and that didn't even work. So I think that will definitely be still making a good earnings going into the future.
Yeah, the short term sometimes is tricky, but the long term, as you say, for British American Tobacco, at some point they'll get the South African sales back. Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International, thank you for your time this morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I got Tim Acker on the line. He's a portfolio manager at Allan Gray. Tim, appreciate your time this morning. Talking banks, I mean, the South African banks, immediate future for those banks is looking fairly bleak. No dividends coming as requested by the regulator. Valuations, however, are at extreme lows. And even if we say they're historic, if we're looking forward and we look sort of, you know, maybe 2-3 years into the future, our banks are incredibly cheap and truthfully, they're still going to be around in 2 or 3 years' time.
Yeah, morning, Simon. So let me put it in context for your listeners. So the share prices of the SA banks have more or less halved since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is it's not coming from a high base. So it's not like the 2007, you know, when we had a boom time and we had a bit of a crash. Bank valuations were already pretty moderate coming into this year, and they've already halved from there. But then we know the economic impact has been and will continue to be extremely severe from COVID and from the lockdown. So we know GDP will contract significantly. The SARB is saying about 7%. We know the government's running a huge fiscal deficit, so on the order of 15%. And bad debts for the banks will increase, obviously, because you've got businesses everywhere coming under immense pressure. So you can just think of small businesses, restaurants, the tourism sector, even larger businesses like Edcon, for which COVID and the lockdown has been a death blow. So valuations are extremely depressed, probably the lowest since they've been since the 1980s. But then risk has also increased.
And the point being, I mean, they came into this crisis, and this pandemic is going to be worse than the crisis of 08-09, to your point of the 1980s, being the cheapest valuation since then. But in essence, the banks came into this crisis very well capitalized, way better than they were in the previous crisis, in part due to local legislation around, you know, the lending and the like, also in part just due to Basel III and other capital adequacy ratios. They are in a good position coming in. They're going to be able to manage to absorb the increased impairments, lower transactional activity.
Exactly. The big change in the banks today compared to, for example, 2007 is they have more capital. So the regulations have forced them essentially to become safer. The FA banks in general are quite well run and seen as quite conservative. In the last few years, we've definitely not had a credit boom in South Africa. Things have been pretty tough. The banks have been forced to be quite lean. So they have been quite conservative. And then as an investor, you know, we know things are going to be tough in the next while, in the short term. Certainly this year is going to be extremely tough. Bad debts are going to increase. But this is a risk you can quantify. So one can't just say, you know, the short-term future is going to be so bad, you don't want to own banks now because this year's earnings are going to be down. Mm-hmm. If you're a long-term investor, you want to try and quantify that risk and figure out, you know, how bad could things be and what is my long-term return going to be.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And absolutely, with debts, we can make some fairly educated estimations around what those impairment levels are likely to be, even albeit worse than the previous crisis. You've got two preferred in this space, Standard Bank and First Rand. Is that a fair shot? Those would be your preferred amongst the local banks?
Yeah, so those are the two our clients have the biggest shareholding in. We think all the banks are pretty attractive. And certainly they have different capital levels and different levels of earnings and those things, but we think all the banks are very safe. So it's interesting just to compare, you know, the size of credit impairments versus the past and how bad would things have to be for the banks really to get into trouble. So just simplistically, you know, bad debts at the moment or last year were about 1% of loans, which is about the average number, the long-term average. And then if you put that in context, the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, bad debts were more or less double that level. So they went from about 1% to about 2%. And now to wipe out earnings, you would have to have bad debts go all the way to 4%.
Whoa.
So we think this recession will be worse for SA than we had during 2008-2009. But you do need a significant increase in credit impairments just to wipe out a single year's worth of earnings. And even that's not a terrible outcome for shareholders if you're a long-term shareholder. So maybe you lose out dividends for a year or two, but then in a few years, earnings recover and you get back to where you were.
Yeah, and that comes to the point that crises such as this actually create some opportunity. It, truthfully, a bit of courage out there required, but investing often does. And you find those valuations, and you know, as you're saying, Tim, the banks are going to be there. And even if you lost a year or two of earnings, you're going to get great assets at great prices. Tim Acker, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray, thank you for your time this morning. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Stephen Marshall. He's a marketing manager for Gold Circle. Durban, July tomorrow. Biggest day on the SA racing calendar. A huge day for Durban. I actually worked at two Durban Julys as a runner for the bookies. And I attended another two as a guest. It's an epic day, even for non-racing fans. Stephen, the race is going ahead. It's a few weeks late. There will be no crowd. And it's probably been a really tough couple of weeks for you and your team. But there will be a Durban July in Durban tomorrow in July.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that was one of the fears that we had, that obviously there was a delay in the running. It's postponed from the 4th of July to the 25th, but to run the July in any other month would have been even more strange in the current circumstances. But yep, the race is going ahead tomorrow. We've almost had to reinvent the whole event this year because we can't have the 55,000 people at Hollywood Bets Gravel. And as I'm sure you remember from when you attended and when you were a bookies runner, it was a crazy day with people everywhere. It's definitely going to have a bit of an eerie feeling tomorrow without anyone in the stands.
Yeah, it absolutely. I mean, every time I was there, it is one of the craziest days of my life. I mean, it's just insane. Are you going to have a full card of races? I mean, there used to be, it was 12 or 14 races or so, with obviously the July being the highlight. Will there be the full card?
Yeah, historically we've been having 12 races. It's normally started around about 12 and then run through into the night. This year, without the crowds, we've reduced the number of races to 10, and the reason for that is so that we can finish before sundown. So the first race is running off at 11:30, and the last race will be just before 5 o'clock, before sunset.
And the day itself and the fashion and everything, that's not happening. But for those who spectating, they'll be able to watch, and there will be, I imagine, betting options, not at the track, but there's a lot of off-site betting. I mean, we live in an online world, and if the pandemic has done nothing, it's made it even more online. So there still will be perhaps reduced, but betting activity happening around the race.
Absolutely, Simon. It's the event is synonymous with fashion, entertainment, and horse racing. You know, and even this year, being in a virtual place and needing to deliver the event virtually, we realised that our clients or our fans of the Vodacom Dead in July need to have those three verticals. So, the fashion side is still a massive part of this event. We're actually filming a lot of the fashion today. We couldn't have it on site tomorrow because of the restrictions in the numbers that we are allowed on course on the day. Mm-hmm. So we're actually filming a lot of the fashion today, which will be inserted into the broadcast. With regards to entertainment, we've partnered up with Hollywood Bets and the City of Durban and Vodacom, who are sponsors on the day. We're delivering a pre-party tonight on Channel O, DSTV Channel 320. So you've got your virtual lockdown party, which we've been running through lockdown. That's now the official pre-party tonight from 8 to 12. And then we've got the after-party tomorrow night, also on Channel O, from 6 o'clock through to 12 o'clock. So, and then obviously the event tomorrow is going to be enjoyed via the broadcast, via live streaming on the Vodacom Dead in July website. And it's the social media is going to be where everyone can meet together. We're going to have lots of competitions for race day fashion. So we're encouraging people to dress up as if they would. If it was a normal Vodacom Dead in July day and they were coming to Hollywood Bets Gravel, we're encouraging to do that just from home, but sharing the outfits with us. There's a few tutorials on the Vodacom Dead in July Facebook page on how to create different fascinators and hats, as well as to glam up your masks, because we understand that that's now, part of your daily fashion apparel. So, we're really encouraging people to get into the spirit, into the vibe of a Vodacom Dead in July, but to do it from the safety of their homes this year.
That is wild. I thought this was going to be a race. I hadn't realized you'd managed to get everything else sort of around it. And kind of like the Zoom environment, although in this case, wear your pants, people. This is not just the top half of the Zooming. Are there other races? I mean, obviously, Durban July is the big race, certainly in KZN and South Africa. Are there other race cards happening, obviously on a smaller scale, but racing is an industry which really can do and operate within social distancing rules?
Yes, absolutely. We started racing again on the 1st of June, so we have been racing since that time. All across the country, we're racing every single day, so in every province we are racing. And that was very important because the stature of the Vodacom Dead in July requires that certain horses have to qualify for that race. So had to have the preliminary races leading up to the Vodacom Dead in July in order to even create the Vodacom Dead in July field. So, that was a very important part of getting racing started again. Obviously, like many businesses around South Africa, the racing industry was placed under serious strain during the lockdown period. It's no secret that our partners up north, Pumalela, were placed into business rescue, and Gold Circle has found itself in similar financial strife, but we're managing to get through it. And so it was really important to get racing underway again and to get the revenue streams which support and sustain the sport of horse racing started again, which are on the one hand abetting, and on the other hand selling the picture to our overseas territories to earn a revenue stream that way. So we have been racing since the 1st of June. With regards to racing on the day, you know, the Vodacom Derby in July is the pinnacle of South African horse racing, but we've got a full card of feature races. There's the two-year-old races, in the fifth and sixth race, which go a long way to determining the champion two-year-olds of the season. There's staying races which lead up to Gold Cup later in August. So it's a full card of quality racing, and some of the best horses in the country will be competing tomorrow at Hollywood Expo Oval.
We'll leave that there. Stephen Marshall, Marketing Manager at Gold Circle. All the best to you and your team for tomorrow. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. at MoneyWeb website or the app, podcast from 7. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.